It's not like it's a competition that's on again next year. You have to wait a full Olympic cycle to go again. Realistically, most of the team aren't going to be here again for the next Olympics, so it's like it's do or die.
For the best Olympics coverage, subscribe to the OTB Highlights podcast feed on the OTB Sports app now.
GAA on Off the Ball.
Yeah, welcome back. John Malloy with you this evening. So we'll have Niamh Briggs on the way after 9 o'clock talking all things Lions South Africa. But we're turning to GAA now because the football at the weekend was interesting and we should have two very good All-Ireland football senior semi-finals. The dates, if you missed them, Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, should be a great occasion. We'll have about 25,000 at these two matches, by the way. So this is Saturday, 14th of August, Saturday week, 6 o'clock throw-in, Mayo against Dublin. And then the next day, Sunday, 3:30, Kerry against Tyrone. That's after Dublin beat Kildare in the Leinster final on Sunday, 20 points to Kildare's 1-9. And then on Saturday, Tyrone beat Monaghan by a single point, 16 points to 15 in the end. To discuss, very happy to say, we have Billy Joe Padden with us and we have Johnny Doyle as well. You're there, Johnny?
Yeah, Joe, how are you?
Very well. Billy Joe, good to have you on.
Thanks, Joe.
So, Johnny, let's start with Dublin-Kildare then. Dublin 20 points, Kildare 1-9. Kildare will have a few regrets in this game, I would put it to you, Johnny. Wasteful too often in front of goal. In the first half, they had three wides and they dropped about five short. Not even all of them into Evan Cumberford's hands. Some of them were quite bad kicks, you'd have to say. And then second half, it didn't improve massively. They left five short and they had four wides. So you mix all that together, that's 17 efforts on goal. No team's going to make them all. But definitely Kildare would feel, do you know what, 1-9, we were better than 1-9.
Yeah, we were better than 1-9 in the greater scheme of things, Joe. But, you know, while we analyse the game and we talk about how much the game has changed, and it's always changing, and the ebb and flow of the game, the basics of the game stay the same. It's about score. And when you, you know, you go to a final and kick 17 wide, or you have 17 shots that don't hit the target, you're going to be going home talking about what if. That's the reality. That's the cold reality. And while, you know, you might get away earlier in the championship when you come up against arguably the greatest team that ever played the game, albeit that personnel has changed over the last decade when they've won all these All-Irelands, there's the vast nucleus of that team are laden down with All-Ireland titles. So you're going to be punished and punished reward. So yeah. I suppose, you know, when you analyse it, and you look, and you said before the game, you know, you keep Conor Callan to a point. You know, Kilkenny would be taken off. Conor Callan was taken off. Brian Fenton, you know, wasn't at his usual best. You'd be thinking, you know, we won't be too far away. And yes, you know, in layman's terms, we go back with beaten by 8 points. It's bordering toward getting a bit of a trouncing.
Yeah, no, it was very comfortable in the end, second half, when Dublin sorted themselves out of touch and started taking more scores. Like Daniel Flynn's brilliant. We'll come on to him in a second. But also, Kildare are very reliant on him. Like, Kildare had 5 scores, Dublin had 9 scores. If you take away Daniel Flynn's contribution, Kildare had 5 points from play, you know. Now, it's great to see Flynn back, obviously, but that's a frailty with this team. And to be honest with you, Johnny, and you were one of the notable exceptions, I don't know if you believe in like a county's DNA or not, but it has been an Achilles heel of Kildare, even going back to Miko's time, you know, like loads of possession and maybe not making that possession count enough at times.
It's certainly a label that we've had to live with over the last 20 years anyway, or maybe more, and until maybe Miko's second coming, I suppose, when we start to get a bit of success. I'd argue maybe a little bit, I think we bridged that gap a little bit in Kieran's era.
Yeah.
When, you know, you had the likes of James Cavanagh and Alan Smith, Mikey Conway, Eamon O'Callaghan, Rowan Sweeney, all, you know, and any day would kick, you know, would be good scoring forward. But certainly it is a problem, there's no doubt about it. You know, I think probably the way we play the game is an issue. When we look at, you know, without being critical of anybody, you know, lads go out and to give their best, and they did give a good account of them. But it's at a level now, you know, where you have to be very sure when you're shooting under pressure. And the way we play the game, Joe, and the way this team has played it, you know, and even under Keane O'Neill's tender, there's a lot of emphasis on not giving the ball away. And time again, I felt on Sunday, you know, Ben McCormack broke the line, ran hard at them. But again, you know, after exhausting himself, he shoots under pressure, nobody coming off the shoulder. On the flip side of that, you go down the other side, and when Dublin did that, the two or three options to slip a ball, or you know, someone comes at an angle run, Dean Rock or Paddy Small, you know, just cut inside, ball is popped to them, and it's gone for a simple score. So we don't have that pace and numbers, and that causes problems. You know, like we've seen lots of these boys are well capable of kicking scores. Like Jimmy Hyland is good as finisher that's in the game. You know, left and right foot, it doesn't matter to him. There's not too many lads that can kick frees off both feet as comfortable as Jimmy can. But yet we didn't get him on the ball. And for whatever reason, we didn't get enough ball into Daniel Flynn in that second half when he was having a very good game. And I saw, you know, I can be critical of Daniel at times. I think, you know, you need to give us more, Daniel. You know, sometimes there's a bit of magic. But then, you know, for whatever reason, we don't see it enough in the game. I thought he was really good on Sunday. Everything he did, you know, worked hard when he didn't have the ball. You know, most times he made the ball count, and that goal was top notch. But certainly, I think we have to find another way that we run in when we do attack. We have options coming off the shoulder, and we're not leaving lads in isolation. That's what we tended to do a good bit on Sunday. And you know, at this level, Joe, you cannot afford to miss those opportunities.
Yeah.
You get it. Every team's going to miss, you know, a couple of scores. But Kildare cannot afford, you know, even the goal, when Daniel got the goal, you know, really gave the whole place. You say, okay, we next have to press the next kick out. And Evan Comfort got a handy kick out, moved it up the field, didn't put pressure on the Dublin defence, and it's over the bar, the far end, very simple. So it was nearly, you know, when we needed to, you know, batter the door after doing, you know, getting a good goal, we needed to put pressure that we forced them to go at least 50-50. We didn't do that. So there's a lot in it, but certainly it's a thing. You're not going to win championship games scoring 1-9. That is a fact.
No. Billy Joe, there's a lot in what Johnny says there. Can I throw two of the points to you to get your thoughts on it? So he mentioned Kildare surrendering the kickouts, and you know, like when Flynn dispossesses McCarthy off a kickout and scores the goal, it gives you a glimpse of what can be done when you win turnover ball high off the pitch. But effectively, Kildare gave Dublin all the kickouts. The logic, the rights and wrongs of that, I'd be curious for your thoughts on. And then secondly, Johnny also mentioned a lot of possession around the middle third going very laterally, and it was hard to know on TV, was Daniel Flynn like being treble marked or whatever, but there was you just had this sense you'd love to have seen where he was at a shot, because the more they could get the ball to him, the better, obviously. So those two aspects of the Kildare performance, I'd be interested for your thoughts on.
Very important. Both I suppose sections of any game are important, but I suppose firstly, in terms of the kickouts, my thoughts on it are, if you can, and this is any team, not just the game we witnessed at the weekend, if you concede all the kickouts to the other team, well, you better hope that you're having all the possession and it's their goalkeeper that's kicking the ball out, that some way or other you manage to get that ball back. And against Dublin, of course, that's not likely. As well, then you better hope that you win all your kickouts, because if you're going to have a chance of beating Dublin, I believe that you have to break at least even when you combine your own kickouts and their kickouts. If they're winning 60% of the combined total of their own kickouts, and then taking 25-30% of yours minimum, well then they're winning more possession. How are you going to beat, as Johnny says, probably the greatest team that has ever played the game? So you have to take more risks. You have to push players higher up the field. I think the way Kildare were set up, and I can totally understand this, they wanted to defend deep. They wanted to just frustrate Dublin, and they did that for the most part. And that's probably what kept them in the game early in that first half. But it just meant that all those forwards, Hyland, Flynn, were totally isolated in a defensive point of view, that they couldn't get enough support up behind them to really put pressure on Comfort. And then when they dropped all back, and you mentioned it there about the middle third, they had so many bodies back, but they just were not able to transition the ball out of that area quickly enough, not enough runners off the shoulder. And then very often, Flynn got the ball isolated, Hyland got the ball isolated in the corner too far away, and he is a good finisher. Even McCormick, when he got the ball, he was isolated and taking bad shots. And as Johnny said, you know, dropping in the keeper's hands and all that is totally unacceptable. So you just have to, your game plan has to evolve to be able to push players higher up the field. You can't pressure Dublin on every kick out, but there are situations in the game following, like there's a couple of times, I think following a water break, they mightn't have even pressed the kick out appropriately. And that's not acceptable in my opinion. So you have to, there are situations where you have to put the pressure on, because you just can't hand Dublin over 60-70% of restart possession. Because they'll just, any good team should find themselves in a winning platform off that. But I think the other thing then that was noticeable to me was that even during that good defensive work in the first half, first 20, 25 minutes, when they were able to frustrate Dublin a little bit, they just didn't have that speed to break out of the middle third with two, three, four runners, didn't have that confidence that a pod of three or four would go and really try and make something happen. And then inevitably the Kildare forwards are too far away from goal. I did feel as well in the first half that Daniel Flynn, he's such a dynamic athlete, and he was so isolated. No one could have given out to him at certain times there if he just literally tried to take his man on. And if he got dispossessed, so be it. He didn't have a whole lot of support. But I think it would have been worth trying, because they probably needed those goals in that first half to get ahead, because once you go into Dublin, four or five points down at halftime, the game's effectively over.
Yeah. And like, if he has support, he can pick out a pass, you know, as we've even seen over the last couple of games as well. Like, his foot passing is brilliant. Johnny, you'd be watching Kildare more than Billy Joe and I suspect. Would Kildare always surrender the kickouts, or was this just a slightly fearful approach to Dublin?
I wouldn't say they always do, Joe. I think it might have been, you know, to be set up well in defence. Obviously, we know, you know, what Dublin are capable of doing. And, you know, especially the last day against Westmead, a few times, you know, Westmead were just ran at us and caused us serious problems. And, you know, with team selection, Alex Byrne was sacrificed, who had a really good championship up to the weekend. He was sacrificed, and you know, Shea Ryan came into that role, and Shea has all his football in defence, so we were going to play with that extra defender.
That's a fair point, actually, because even on the TV before the game, they just showed various clips of Westmeath running at Kildare and like really looking like a goal was on. So you, in fairness, I guess it's very easy for us to say, would you not press up in the kickouts and have a go? But if you're if you're leaving your defence open and Westmeath caused them a lot of trouble, you can sort of see how Jock O'Connor thinks, well, I don't want to concede two or three goals here in the first half.
I would agree with that. You know, we had to stay in the game. And you know, I thought we were a little bit unlucky to go in at halftime 4 points down. I think it was 4 points, maybe 5 points down. I thought we'd done enough, albeit we dropped a few short in that first half. But I felt we should have been closer at halftime. And, you know, there would have been a lot of people over the last couple of days, they didn't have a go. And at the time, to be honest with you, I thought maybe they didn't have a go. Yeah. But then when you look at the substitutes that came in, and you know, like some of the Kildare substitutes that came in, like Alex Byrne, who plays in the half four, Niall Kelly, who's an out and out four, Darragh Cowan, Brian McLaughlin, Shane O'Sullivan, all out and out four and forwards. You know, but it's in at the moment with this team, and it comes, you know, when you're under pressure, and Billy Joe will tell you, when you're under pressure at any level, at any football, you revert to type, you revert to doing what you've been doing all the time. And what we do a lot in Kildare, we run the ball through the hands. We don't look to kick. And Dublin had us, you know, to play Johnny Cooper in front of Daniel Flynn, who a lesser behind Jimmy Hyland. And when you're coming out with the half back line and you're looking to kick and you're seeing Johnny Cooper standing in front, you know, Daniel Flynn trying to sprint to the corner, it has to be a really, really good kick. So what do? We look to keep the ball. And that's a lot of what we did, where we needed some outlet on that half forward line that sat in front of maybe Johnny Cooper, that had, you know, plenty of legs to go left and right to be an outlet for that ball. Because when that ball wasn't on inside and we too much space, we tend to go lateral. And even when we turned them over, we went safe. We let the Dublin get back behind the ball, and we just kept the ball around the middle. So that's, you know, and maybe I'm going away from your question.
No. You've kind of summed up the game there perfectly. Like, you've summed up Kildare's predicament perfectly there.
Yeah, and I think that I think. In fairness to the manager, I think, you know, they would have got it right up to a certain point. But it's just that we have to get used to supporting the ball at pace, and whether that's a conditioning side of our game. So many times runners were left isolated, and when they did, they turned and were happy to kick the ball. Now, you could look and stubble and say the same, they'd work it so far, but they were patient, and then someone took it on the burst, broke that inside the game line, and they got easy scores. And Kildare weren't capable of doing it.
Yeah, I guess, well, Jack O'Connor said, you know, season of progress and back up to Division 1, so we'll see what Kildare can muster up next year. So Dublin, Billy Joe, the interesting stat here, I mean, it's hard to judge Dublin until they get to a final, effectively, or until they're really pushed. So you're judging them against inferior opposition generally through the early stages of the championship. But in so much as we can judge them on that basis, their combined winning margin, if you take the Kildare game, the Meath game before that, and Wexford before that, 22 points, you add up the three winning margins. Whereas you take Meath last year, they beat Meath by 17 points alone last year. Like, they were, you know, destroying teams with more ease last year. This winning margin in the Leinster final at the weekend, that's their lowest in a provincial decider going back 8 years. So again, all these little markers, and it's how much you read into them, I suppose, but all these markers suggest they're not as far ahead as they were, for sure. And the thing that jumped out from that first half is that we mentioned Kildare's accuracy. Of Dublin's 18 efforts in the first half, they scored with 9 of them. So, like, 50% strike rate for Dublin is almost unheard of. Now, in fairness, second half, they went 11 of 12, and that's where they really pulled away. But there's still something not quite right here, I would put it to you, by their standards.
Yes, they... Look, the Leinster Championship hasn't been... They haven't been as dominant as they have been, basically, for the last 10 years. In every game, and the points differential there tells that story. I suppose when you look at it, and you have to analyse, well, why is that happening? And many people are pointing to the players that they're missing, and just maybe even they're, I don't know, I don't want to say they're getting stale, or it's hard to keep continuing to go to a high level, but there's no doubt that missing a Cluxton in particular this year at short notice impacts on the, I suppose, the culture of the group, or the mentality of the group, even though Comerford looks a very fine keeper, there's no doubt about that. But at the same time, we really don't know what their training plan has been. It's a unique season for us in that it's a knockout championship in summer. Even last season was different. It was a knockout championship in winter, where the fellas had club championships under their belt. So maybe they use the Leinster Championship as a really heavy training load. I have no evidence to back this up.
Sure.
And maybe they're only planning to peak for the month of August. And if you look at the second half, and you rightly pointed out that the statistics were markedly improved, and then you see somebody like Owen Merchant come on, and he's, you know, showing the pace that he can bring to a game, and you get a glimpse of that. And when you add those sort of players to it, and the fact that it's hard to believe that Fintan or O'Callaghan, who are big game players, who really have risen their level against Mayo in the past and against big in All-Ireland finals, you know, would you bet against them doing it again? No, I wouldn't. So I think that you have to be really cautious if you're clinging on to something that Dublin have fallen way back. Of course, losing some of the players that they've lost will impact the strength of their squad, but they're still a very, very serious outfit, still scores 20 points, and still, even to maybe get back to the point in the first half about Kildare having all this possession, they're very, very hard to counterattack against. They're still a very well defensively organised side. Kildare do not look like scoring a goal, and even in the All-Ireland final last year against Mayo, you know, really well set up defensively in the second half, like they always seem to be. So they're a huge challenge, and I suppose their demise may be exaggerated.
Yeah, and like, maybe there's a degree of wishful thinking in the rest of the country, Johnny, you know, that they'll come back a touch and we get something a bit more competitive. So, like, I've reeled off all the stats there. You'd have forget about the stats, you'd have just a feel for where they are as players and as a team. What are you seeing from them, say, on Sunday and even the last couple of games?
Yeah, look, I suppose we're judging Dublin like we'll never judge another team.
Yeah.
In the fact that, you know, they're such high standards. They're, you know, at times over the last 10 years, they're like a machine. They just never, you know, they never went off script at all. And that probably came down to, you know, with the soundbite you'd hear a little bit talking to former players and stuff, probably came down to Jim Gavin too, in his, you know, the way he dealt with players. Like, I don't think Jim Gavin would come out on that after a Leinster semi-final and say, I don't know what the story is with one of my players. Like, that would have alarm bells ringing. Now, maybe Desi knows exactly where Cluxton is, and Cluxton knows exactly where he is. I don't know. But, you know, from the outside looking in, I also, you know, you see Dean Rock going off rightly or wrongly.
He didn't look thrilled.
Didn't look happy.
He didn't look thrilled, did he?
No, he didn't look thrilled, and expressed that, you know, in his body language. Would that happen under Jim Gavin? I get the impression it wouldn't. So, you know, while all this is going on and maybe everybody talking them down a little bit, listen, I'm with Billy. I think they're still a fantastic team. You know, to beat Kildare, and we're talking about maybe they're not at the level they were, but still won by 10 points with, with probably, you know, Brian Fenton and Conor Callan having, you know, a below par game. I would give huge credit to Luke Flynn and to Mick O'Grady on that. I think they went about their business very, very well, and they would have been earmarked to nullify them, which is easier said than done. You know, there's a lot of good players would have been sent out to do that job and couldn't do it. But certainly, I just get the impression that there's a little, the culture is not as it was. And I know culture is a word that's thrown around, bandied around an awful lot these days. But you just feel that there's something just not right. Mm. And maybe it is, you know, when you're going to the well year after year, like you've Mick Fitzsimons, you have Johnny
Cooper,
you have McCarthy, you know, 7 and 8 All Ireland medals. It's very, very difficult, you know, to keep going time and time again, pushing the body all the time. Like, if Brian Fenton hasn't been beaten in Dublin Jersey since 2015, like, that's a serious, serious amount of big games to be pushing yourself time and time again. So, look, I'm very much with Billy. These are a really good side, and you know, if Mayo do overcome them in the semi-final, they're going to have to get their very best to get over this Dublin team. I still think they have an awful lot left to say in this championship.
Well, to that point then, Billy, so Mayo will have the benefit of last year under their belts, and they like Croke Park, and you know, a little bit of momentum now. They'll have a rattle at Dublin. Like, they'll be taking them on at the kickouts. They'll be trying to match them physically at every turn. Like, we're going to find out where Dublin are, you would think, to a fairly big extent against Mayo.
We will, yeah. Mayo will play as hard as they can. They'll pressure Aya up the field. They'll try and press the kick out. That's what they tried to do last year. That's what they have been doing all season. They'll really try and move the ball through the middle third. They'll use that athleticism that Mullen and Paddy Dirk can have, that Matty Ruan has. They'll take risks at the back. So there may be goal opportunities for Dublin that there were not there, because Kildare had so many defenders back, and they'll be really looking to the two young forwards and Tommy Conroy and Ryan O'Donoghue to see, you know, can they challenge Fitzsimons and Cooper. They have a bit of speed maybe, which, you know, Mayo have gone to Croke Park and All-Ireland finals maybe would not, with the speed and the full forward line that they have now. But so something tells me, as a Mayo man, to be cautious going into a game like that without Killian O'Connor, with Chris Barrett retired, with Brendan Harrison, you know, injured, you know, Jason Doherty injured, and feeling that, like, you have a really good chance of turning them over. So I would urge caution in that regard. But they will be tested, and I expect it to be a good game of football. And I think that it's an important game in terms of the development of some of these Mayo young players to play. All right, the All Ireland final last year was their kind of their first look at it for Oisin Mullen and Tommy Conroy and Owen McLaughlin, players like that. Even Matty Ruan is only, you know, establishing himself in the game, and the form he's in is going to be a really interesting battle against Brian Fenton. But in the summertime, in the middle, on really good conditions, Mayo will really just try and lay down a marker and see where they are.
Yeah.
And Dublin will have to react to that. But if any team has shown over the last number of years that they can raise their level to match somebody and go beyond, it's Dublin.
Yeah, I mean, it's still very, very hard to write them off in this championship, to say the least. I think they're probably still most people's favourites if you put a gun to their head. So Mayo Dublin's going to be Saturday, 14th of August, 6 p.m. Next day we'll have Kerry against Tyrone. Tyrone beating Monaghan then on Saturday in the Ulster final, 16 points to 15. They were a point to the good at the second half water break, and then Peter Hart kicked a point and McCurry had a free and a point, and that put them 4 clear, and then Monaghan came back into it and Tyrone saw this one out, 16 points to 15. I mean, look, there's a lot with this game, and Tyrone were hit with COVID as well, Johnny, and that interrupted their preparation. The game within the game, obviously, is Niall Morgan and Rory Beggan. I mean, this is just fascinating stuff, like little glimpse of the future and where we're going to go. How much of this is really good innovation and it's really working for the teams, and how much of it is just like, I don't know, there's times I watch it and I think it's just for show a little bit, as in they're doing jobs other players could do, or it's a bit like in a game of football, soccer, where the midfielder's dropping in between the centre half to take the ball and there's no need, you tell him just get up the pitch and, you know, we can take care of that. So I'm torn on it. I definitely want to see where it goes and they'll get better at it. Where are you on the likes of Morgan and Beggan and how they're revolutionising is a strong word, but I mean they're taking this now to fairly gutsy heights.
They are, yeah. I'm not so sure it's for sure. I think both Monaghan and and Monaghan and Tyrone spend too much time analysing and preparing like any other team for two lads to have, you know, to be sort of bordering on being kamikaze in their approach. You know, I thought at times Rory Beggin was very, very lucky. He got back at one stage and made a great tack himself and flicked the ball up. But if that ended up in the back of the net and you're beaten by 2 points, you would be very, you know, left with a lot of egg in your face. It means that a defender is dropping off, standing the goals. You know, you could see maybe merit in it from a point of view of pushing up on the kick out.
Yeah.
You know, that you're filling a gap for someone else. But, you know, you've got to be very, very sure. You've got to be very sure of your footballing ability, because you, in essence, you're becoming a seven defender, which I don't have much problem with. But, you know, it only takes one of these to go wrong, and you're left with a lot of egg in your face. And you might get away earlier on the championship if that does happen. But you're going to, you know, if it happens in an All Ireland semi final against Kerry, you know, there's probably no way back. And I don't think you'll see Niall Morgan maybe being as brave, if that's the right word to use, with the Kerry forwards in the form they're in.
Like, and there's no doubt, like, it was very effective. Morgan pushing up on Beggin's kickouts, Billy Joe at times definitely got in Beggin's head and definitely was effective. There are other times where, you know, Morgan, I think, was tracking, was it Andrew Woods at one stage, and you have Peter Hart in goal, and I sort of thinking, I'd probably, like, it's interesting. I mean, I'd probably swap you out for Peter Hart, though, at the same time. So, because I don't want to sound old school in this, like, I think it's really interesting, and there's always been, like, in a sport like this where the keepers can play, you know, exactly the same way as the outfield players, there's always been room for 1-2s and overloads when you're overlaps when you're coming out with the ball, you know, and you're kind of tightly man marked 6-on-6, you can create an overlap for sure. So we're at the beginning of where this is all going to go. What are you seeing at the moment?
Well, I agree with you, Joe. I think that particular passage of play, I was kind of mystified as to how Morgan ended up defending at the far 65, whereas somebody else, as you say, it was Peter Hart that was back in goals. I think that's unnecessary, and that just creates confusion. Now, maybe the Brian Duher will come back and say to me that was a plan and they'd worked on in training. Whereas, as Johnny mentioned there, pressurizing the kick out is something that you think, you know, should be able to work out.
Yes.
Because if you're in goals, you can push a corner back further up the field and you can maybe mark a space in the half back line and fill out a space to stop
and
a kick out.
Sorry to interrupt. It's also a set piece. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows what the thinking is and why you're here and why we're starting this way.
Yeah, but I suppose the surprising thing for me was that Monaghan didn't handle it well. And they'd seen it already this season, because McNally, the Fermanagh goalkeeper, did this same thing against Monaghan, where he came up and kind of swept over the midfield, so that kick out that Beggin likes to use, where it goes over the top of everyone. So he took that kick out away, and Morgan was doing that again the last day. Now, I wasn't at the game, and it's much easier to see those things when you're in the stadium than watching on television. But and then Beggin was trying to force a kick out somewhere else, and he was, you know, hitting them out over the sideline, and that's uncharacteristic for him. He's usually so sure of that. So Morgan coming up and being an active defender in that situation was totally merited and worked well. Whereas I suppose the point I'm trying to make is the other time when he came up to the 65, it's just too much of a risk, creates too much confusion. The other thing I did like about what Morgan did, though, and on the other hand, when Beggin came out, and somebody pointed out to me during the week, was that, well, Morgan just said, let's lamp the kick out down on top of him. And that's the situation where Johnny's pointing out there, where Beggin nearly gets caught out, because he's left with a ball landed on him. He has to decide, do I retreat and try and get back in my goals and I don't have time, or do I actually try and go and win this ball? And he went to try and win the ball and it went in behind him, and then he had to chase back, and he did remarkable work to get back. But I think, look, it's very interesting. And this game will be remembered about the role of the goalkeepers when we look back in it a couple of years. And it was a very entertaining game. I would add caution in that the role, we have to be careful about what we want our goalkeepers doing, the broad spectrum of the game and how the game is played. Because if you notice the last 3 or 4 minutes, there was a lot of ball played back to Morgan just to keep possession. And that can be frustrating to watch. I know a coach will tell you, well, maybe that's the situation where Beggin has to make a 65-yard run and basically go for broke and mark the other keeper and just turn it into a 15-on-15 game for the last 2 or 3 minutes. And that maybe should be the tactical approach in that situation if you're Monaghan. But I suppose that's just something for people to think about.
No,
but look, I think it's a positive thing in terms of the way these teams were tactically trying to do something different with the goalkeepers.
Yes, no, like 100%. The starting point for this conversation is innovation is great. And like there wasn't enough innovation in GAA for, you know, about 50 years. So, but it's just curious now. It doesn't mean everything is good. It doesn't mean the way they're using the keepers is good. And we should kind of pick apart what makes sense and what doesn't make sense. Like it strikes me, playing fly keepers, how Johnny Doyle can keep playing for Alan Wood until he's about 60. So that's an interesting thought. Do you think Johnny in 10 years... Do you think Johnny in 10 years' time, most inter-county goalkeepers will be effectively seventh man in that defence and coming out up to the halfway line fairly routinely, or will it still be fairly specialised?
I think we'll see a little bit more of it. I still think there will be the orthodox goalkeeper, as in, you know, your reaction is a good shot stopper, you know, like the kick out is no longer a kick out where it's just lurried out the field and let the best man win. It's a set play and you know, has revolutionized the game because, you know, so much of training, so much of preparation goes in what we're going to do for their kick out and what we're going to do for our own kick out. And there's hours upon hours spent on the training ground and getting the restarts right. You know, I think it's like every part of the game. You know, we've seen it so often in the past with different things. You know, we the Kieran Donaghy arrived on the scene and all of a sudden the big full forward was fashionable again. Then when Tommy Walsh got it, they were looking to see had we a second big full forward that we could lump every ball into. You know, we soon realised that we didn't have, every club in the country didn't have a Kieran Donaghy. You know, that had the intelligence to be able to play other people in and had the ball winning ability. So I always think things get a little bit fashionable. Mm. Like, in fairness to Morgan and Rory Began, they're two really good footballers.
Yeah.
So you have to cut your claw at the measure. And I'm sure both sets of managers, like, you know, Rory Began would always, you know, or has the ability to go along and beat the press. And we've seen him doing that in the past. And I think that's a lot of why you know, Niall Morgan would have pushed up just to say, well, look, it, you lamp it down here and I'll be waiting for it. You know, so you could press high and he was still sitting there. But I still think, you know, it's going to take, you know, one or two mistakes and all of a sudden then the ball is in the net and you've manager saying, listen, now you stay in the goals, you're in the goals for a reason.
Yeah. And I guess, look, I'm conscious, you know, Shane Curran might be listening. You know, he was doing this a very long time ago. It's not like something we've never seen before.
And Began came up and was in about 2 inches of kicking a point from play as well.
Yeah.
I don't know when we've last seen that. So, like, it's not totally alien. There is some merit in it, but you have to be very sure of when that goalie goes up the field. You have to be sure that you have everything sound at the back.
Like one of the next stages, you could imagine Billy Joe, like a really good outfield player, being converted almost, you know, like, and the logic might be, well, a GAA goalkeeper doesn't have to make that many saves, you know, it's not as important as a soccer goalkeeper. So someone who's a really good striker of a ball and can play, obviously, outfield, we're going to convert you into a keeper and almost put those skills above shot stopping. That could be an interesting development. Do you think that, you know, in 10 years, what we saw on Saturday is going to be very much the norm at inter-county level?
Yes, I think so. With the parameters of the rules, the way they are, that your goalkeeper can be somebody that can be a constant outlet to you, because if anything, possession is becoming more and more important. So if you have somebody like Morgan or Began who you can go back to, you know, kick the ball backwards to 30 yards and they're comfortable, you know, 35 yards out from their own goal, and they can solo the ball over to the other side of the field, or they can hit a very accurate pass to switch the play for you, well, then that's what teams will want. And to answer your first question, it's happening already. You know, in development squads, in I'd say in every county in Ireland, and are identifying outfield players at under 16 or minor who is a good striker of the ball, and saying, well, you know, you might be better served being a goalkeeper for adults football or for higher level inter-county underage football, because they deem that kicking the ball and having that ability, decent ability in possession, is as important. So that is happening already from what I'm hearing,
right?
At underage level.
Yeah.
And sure, Morgan plays all his club football outfield, midfield, and I believe he's a very, very good club footballer separate to what you see him doing with his goalkeeper jerseys on his back. So I think, yeah, it's we're going to see more and more and more of it, and it'll be up to, I suppose, opposition coaches to see how can we put these goalkeepers under more pressure to keep them in and around their own goal line, and without being able to turn over the ball quickly out the field, where you can actually catch a goalkeeper out of position. well, then they'll have a comfort level of coming out 45, 50 yards. Now, if you found yourself in a situation where you'd have full forward and you were happy to sacrifice him as a defender and leave him on the penalty spot for the full 70 minutes, well, then would the goalkeeper feel as comfortable coming out the field? I'm not
so
sure.
Yeah. Very interesting. Listen, fellas, thanks so much for that. We'll look ahead to the semi-finals in due course. Johnny Doyle of Kildare, Billy Joe Padden, Mayo, Armagh. Thanks a million. GAA on Off the Ball.